This is the Mobile Tech Podcast, brought to you by worldpodcasts.com. Now here's your host, Tech Girl, Miriam Jouar.
Hi, and welcome to the Mobile Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Miriam Jouar, and today is Saturday, September 8th, 2018, and my guest is Jaime Rivera of Pocket Now. Hi, Jaime, how are you?
I am doing great, and even better now that I'm talking to you.
Yay! So, you went to IFA while I was at Burning Man.
Lucky you.
And you had to deal with the mess that was the Mesa. See what I did there?
It is adequately named indeed.
While I deal with the mess that was dust. But that's why I have you on, because I want your thoughts on what happened at that show. So let's start somewhere. What is the thing that stood out for you?
Oh my God, IFA, I guess a couple of Vanguard products that are weird to find. IFA is always this like weird show that's more about home electronics. You'll see great refrigerators and TVs, but that's just about it. and obviously, you know, we're Pocket Now. We focus more on mobile technology. And I saw a couple of cool things from companies like ASUS, from companies like Nubia that I wasn't expecting, but, oh, and Acer as well, Project Thronos, things like that. Things I wasn't expecting, but then other than that, that was IFA, at least for me. I know that the public was so in love with the Android-powered toasters. They loved them.
But I mean, look, I saw from the various reports that obviously some phone news came out, and that's what we really want to focus on.
Let's do it.
Phone and some, you know, ancillary things around phones. You did a bunch of videos, which I will link to in the show notes. But I want to, I saw one that stood out. It was some sort of bracelet watch.
Oh my God, yes.
Phone that, device. So tell
Nubia
us about that.
The Nubia Alpha. So before we continue, let's be clear. It's a phone according to Nubia. It is not a smartwatch. That's the way they want to market it. But it's running a forked version of Android. They weren't specific on it. We couldn't even touch it. Like, if you watch my video, you can't touch the product. You can't interact with it in any way. It's made in part of stainless steel, another part of aluminum. And to be fully honest with you, I am literally 99% sure that it's not going to be a good product. But I don't care, because it's just, I mean, think about it, Miriam. We grew up with science fiction, you more than me, probably.
Yeah,
and so for me, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't care if it works or not. I want to give it a try just because it looks really cool. It's different. Like, but again, it's meant to be a phone where you're supposed to interact with it to a certain degree with voice. It's got its own camera that's supposed to, you know, it's like the full Dick Tracy to a certain degree.
Right. So, but it's forked, right? So is this like a Chinese product? Are we going to see anything like this that runs Google Play services anytime soon?
That is the second part. That is the second most interesting part. The fact that apparently it's not for the China market. It seems that they plan to launch it everywhere but China. And the third thing is, it's a product. As I mentioned, it's not a concept according to their PR. This product will make it to the market. And apparently it's going to happen in Q4, which for me was like, wow, okay, fine. If you can pull it off, then cool. I was impressed. Probably the most impressive part is the fact that we're already in September. We're how far away from Q4?
And, oh my God, yeah, right?
And they didn't want to let us touch the product. They didn't want us to let us, they don't want to let us do anything with it. And yet I found it to be just so science fiction. So as Michael Fisher would say, so Wrath of Khan. It was fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah, it has that aesthetic. Absolutely. I agree with you there. I mean, with Michael, I should say. Yeah, so, you know, I work at Burning Man. So obviously while I was there, I live vicariously through your news. I unfortunately didn't have really the bandwidth to watch the videos, but I did when I got back a couple of days ago.
You need to tell me more about Burning Man. I've heard so many things about it.
Well, it's a crazy place, and I started going 15 years ago just for fun, and then eventually got kind of rolled into doing some volunteer work there because it's all volunteer run. And eventually, you know, I've worked as a volunteer for about 12 years, and I've graduated to basically being staff now. And so, you know, it takes three big weeks of my year I spent in this crazy high altitude desert in the dust. in the heat, and I run a coffee shop there, believe it or not.
Are you serious? Oh my God. Yeah, see, now yeah, I need to go. You gave me like the magic word.
I do logistics and operations for the world's biggest coffee shop when it's running, and it's running 24/7 for the entire week of the event, which is why I show up a week early.
And so I've heard that you have to set it up like from scratch, and then nothing can remain in the sand after you're done, is what I've heard.
That is correct. It is kind of a mad thing. So what I'm getting to is that I brought some technology there, but and I will talk about this a little more in the next podcast, if those of you who are kind of eagerly waiting to find out. One of them being a night vision camera, which is dust and water resistant. I'll leave it to that. But, you know, I was kind of seeing the news reports coming in, and the phones were actually quite plentiful. The one that caught my eye the most was the Honor Play, because I like Honor phones. Did you get a hands-on with that at all?
I have an Honor Play with me, actually, right here.
Oh, my goodness.
Pulling it out of the drawer. Yeah, of course. Oh, that's great. I've actually had it for a bit, ever since the original announcement. So it's funny how they make this whole play where it looks like a P20 Pro from the side where it's got the text. Just pretty much slammed it, just like Huawei has on the P20 Pro, you know, pointing to the camera. It's an aluminum phone. It's pretty much the aluminum version of what the P20 would have been, not the P20 Pro.
Right. So basically, it's very similar to the Honor 10, then.
It is the Honor 10, you know, in another presentation. And it seems that Honor is doing a lot of
that. Why are they doing that? It's like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm excited about it, but I don't get it.
I don't get it either. But Honor has this very interesting strategy where they, to a certain degree, if you think about it, the Honor 10, the Honor View 10, and the Honor Play are pretty much the same phone to a certain degree.
Right.
If you do the math, like if you go into the specifications, there's really nothing different between one and the other. It's just different approaches to design with the same internals. And to be honest with you, if I had to pick which one would I like most, I would pick the Honor 10 over the other two. I love that glass approach. But for those people that don't like glass, that prefer aluminum, the Honor Play, I would prefer the Honor Play over the Honor View 10 in a heartbeat.
But you said over the Honor 10, the Honor View 10. Because the Honor View 10 is metal again.
Yes, exactly. But I don't like the Honor View 10. I don't like how the camera protrudes. I don't like the design aesthetic of the Honor View 10. So if for me, the top pick would be the Honor 10, and then this one, the Honor Play, would be the second one. The Honor View 10 would be like a long third, which I don't know why. That's pretty much the phone that you get in the United States, and you can't really get these. Like the Honor 10, and I'm not sure about the Honor Play if you can get it here in the United States.
Right.
That's
I don't know. So is it meant for Europe? Is it meant for global?
That's a good question. Like the original launch was in Europe. Then they made this like pretty much secondary launch at IFA. One more time. It seems to be a European phone, and it's just I don't know. Honor has got this interesting strategy. They're pushing to Latin America as well. They're pushing to Latin America more than they are in the United States as well. So I don't understand what the purpose is of all this, but it's what they do. Like for me, it's interesting that you found the Honor Play as the most interesting one. For me, it was the Xperia XZ3, honestly.
Well, let's talk about that. The reason I think the Honor Play stuck out with me is because I'm a big Honor fan. I'll be honest with you. Usually their phones are interesting and cool, and I'm not disappointed that it's a slightly rehashed Honor 10 and probably at a lower price, which is even more interesting. But yeah. You know, tell us about is that the first Sony phone that finally has a full screen?
So just imagine that the Xperia XZ2 and the Google Pixel 2 XL had a baby. This is it. Like from the front, it literally looks like your Pixel 2 XL. That's the way the bezels are formed. It's got more curve than the Pixel 2 XL. And then from the back, it looks like an XZ2. With the difference that I feel that Sony paid attention to feedback when it came to ergonomics. The problem with the XZ2 was that the fingerprint scanner was so at the bottom that you would end up pressing the camera lens, assuming that was the fingerprint scanner. With the XZ3, you don't have that problem. All the ergonomics are fine. Probably the only thing that I don't like is the placement of the volume buttons, that it's just so high. You literally can't reach them without just moving your hand. But other than that, it's not a bad-looking phone. I don't think I've liked a Sony phone in a while. But I'm really looking forward to this one. I really like it. I'm a little disappointed with the fact that they didn't do the 48 megapixel camera, which I was still expecting because Sony has never placed their top tier cameras on their phones initially. They always sell them to third parties first and then they take advantage of the technology. But other than that, like, the phone looks really nice. I'm glad that they finally made the move to OLED. The screen is gorgeous. It is beautiful. The speakers are great. It looks like a solid phone. It looks like a phone from 2017 late.
I was going to say, so it's still, when I mean by full screen, I meant like last year's full screen. Because this, what they launched at MWC this year, the XZ2, mm-hmm. was that the XZ2?
The right? XZ2,
yes. Am I saying it right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it was disappointing because it still was 16:9 and had so much bezel top and bottom.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of, I was wondering, is this finally the phone that brings them to 2017? Are they finally catching up? Because honestly, I love Sony phones usually, but lately they just seem so frumpy, you know? They don't seem modern and sexy anymore.
Yeah, they don't. I feel this one is a good step in that direction. It's just, they're as sexier now. That's the thing. Sony is always a step behind when it comes to design, but I get it. I mean, this is one of those companies that... I don't think Sony has ever been at the vanguard portion of design. To a certain degree, they've been like more conservative. And they stick to one design for a while. It's like Braun, pretty much. Pretty much like Apple as well. Apple is, usually they'll come up with one design and then they'll iterate it for two, three, sometimes four years. I think Sony's doing the same thing. But probably what's striking to me is why a launch so close to the XZ2 and the XZ2 Premium? That was the part where I was like...
They've done this many times before. Like, this is a Sony thing.
Really?
Where they launch a flagship, and then, like, 3 months later, they launch another flagship, and you're like, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, OnePlus, you kind of know they're going to do that.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Oh, yeah, we are.
But I just feel like Sony's shot themselves in the foot so many times doing that, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm not too surprised.
I feel that they don't give products enough time to grow, definitely. But again, do I like the XZ2? I like it. I like the fact that it runs Android P out of the box.
That's nice.
That is nice. It would be one of the first. So I talked to Sony and I'm like, when's my review unit coming? And I'm really looking forward to it. It's actually the first time. I think that the last time that I reviewed a Sony phone was the Xperia Z back many years ago.
Oh my God. The last one I reviewed was a Z1 or the Z... Whatever.
I didn't care about them. I would send them to
Juan. It was a T-Mobile branded phone, the last one I reviewed.
Oh my God. I stopped caring about Sony just because of how little they cared. And so I did the review of the XZ2. And I did it because I received the unit from a separate sponsorship that I did. And I was like, you know what? I have it. Why not? And it turns out the experience is actually quite delightful. So pretty much my complaints about the XZ2 were addressed with the XZ3. I can't wait to give it a try. Now, one phone, and I don't know if you mind if I segue into something before I forget.
Oh, go segue. We went to E5, didn't we?
Oh, my God.
So, segue away.
So that display on the Axon 9 Pro is really cool. So have you ever played with the Razer phone?
Yes.
Okay, so...
They never sent me a unit.
I have
one. For whatever reason, but I have played with it, yes.
I have one, and it's actually, it's that faster refresh rate. It's adaptable. I like the fact that it's OLED as opposed to the Razer phone. And it looks really cool. It's like if you're looking at one of these TVs, one of these new 4K TVs that will grab footage that's probably 720p or 1080p, and then they will upscale in both the speed of the frame rate and also the quality of the visuals.
The resolution. The frame rate. Yeah,
so it actually, the screen is really cool. It's got dual drivers on the audio. It looks like an iPhone knockoff, which is, you know, it's funny, in my hands-on, I was like, it looks like every phone in 2018 now, because that's just the way everybody's doing it now. But I'm not a fan of the design, but I am a fan of the screen and the speakers. They're really good. They are really, really good.
The Axon was always a really good phone when it came to audio, right?
Yes. And it's got the same dual drivers. They made a couple of tweaks to it, but you can't really, like, you know, they support Dolby Atmos, but I feel that they support Dolby Atmos differently. They have this demo where they put headphones on and it's like fully spatial. Like, they have this demo where they show you things playing in 360 degrees and you can totally tell where everything is coming from. It was nice. Really, really cool. I highly recommend that you give it, that you have a look whenever it comes out. Problem is, it's not coming to the U.S., and we know why.
Of course not. Well, we know why. So speaking of related to ZTE and to Honor, we spoke about the Huawei Mate 20 Lite. Strange that they would launch that at IFA when they have a big event in London next, what is it, in October? I'll be there. You'll be there, I'm sure. Everybody will be there.
Yep. You want to laugh?
What?
I was at the Huawei briefing, and we were not told anything about that Mate 20 Lite. Nothing.
So wait, it just kind of appeared?
It just kind of appeared. And so for me, it was one of those things where, because you know how that, well, you don't because you haven't been to IFA in a bit, but there's this day in IFA where every single company wants to make their events on the same day. And so it's the worst. And so I had to pretty much switch with my colleague because I was already briefed. I was like, I won't be able to make it to the press event because it was so far away. And so I didn't go.
I mean, this happens at MWC as well.
It happens at MWC as well. And so I chose not to go to the event. And out of the blue, boom, they announced it. I spent a long time in their briefing where they talked to me about their Huawei Cube, which is not a cube, the speaker, smart speaker thingy. They showed me the P20 Pro in different colors, which the white pearl just arrived to me yesterday, by the way. They showed us, what else did they show us? The tracker device that they had, but they didn't show us this device. So I honestly haven't seen the Mate 20 Lite, and I just didn't have the time to go and have a look at it. And I was kind of upset. Like, really, guys, you call us to a briefing and then we don't get to see everything? Like, really?
Yeah, that's really weird. It feels like an afterthought to me. It just feels like, well, we have too much to talk about in October in London. Maybe let's push the less interesting ones out now.
I am really looking forward to this Mate 20 Pro. You have no idea. You have no idea.
Oh my God. No, you and me both. Because the Mate series has always been my favorite of the two.
Agreed.
And the P20 Pro blew my mind so hard this year. I took it to Burning Man, by the way.
Really?
And I also took my LG G7 and my Samsung Galaxy S9 Plus because... since the Note review units were sent literally, I think, a day after I went to the desert. So my Note is actually sitting on my desk in San Francisco. I'll be there in a couple of days.
Nice.
So I'll finally get a chance to play with the Note 9 and let you folks know what I think. But took the Galaxy S9 Plus, the G7, LG for the wide angle, and took the P20 Pro, and of course my Pixel 2 XL. And I took all my photos with P20 Pro. There's like a couple of photos I took with other phones because it just nailed it every time. And I really rarely had a need for wide angle that I couldn't satisfy with a panorama. And so that was it. So first time I've just like brought multiple phones with the intent of using them all and only used one.
Yeah, it's very difficult in the case of the once you go P20 Pro, it's really hard to go back.
So if the Mate 20 Pro is anything like that and improves on that, and we know it's going to have the new chip, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it might be able to do even more crazy stuff imaging wise, which is what I'm really looking forward to. So I think it's going to be super exciting. I'm super stoked to be going to London for this.
Same. I think Huawei has been killing it. I'm looking forward to just experiencing the 7 nanometer architecture, just seeing how good that's going to be. I find it so interesting that, these, I forgot, these ARM processors have gone so way beyond when it comes to architecture. And, right now, Intel is still lagging behind.
I mean, they have been for a while, and I think it's because they have a much lower quantity of customers, if you think about it, right? Like ARM, whether it's a Kirin, 980 now?
Kirin 980. What's the latest? Yeah.
Whether it's Kirin 980 or Snapdragon 845 or, whatever A12 chip Apple's going to have in the new iPhone next week, ARM chips are made in billions, right? I mean, it's like... the market for these things is way bigger than anything Intel has ever played with. So I don't think Intel has the ability to build in those quantities.
Yeah, that is a good point.
And so the chip makers, the fabs, the Samsungs primarily, who make almost all the chips for everyone now, and of course Huawei has their own fabs here, that are creating 7-nanometer chips, because Qualcomm also announced 7-nanometer, right? So I mean, it's clearly they're there, they're ready. And to me, they're going to be driving innovation in the chip space. And Apple has been you know, he clearly has been driving innovation in the chip space.
They've been doing innovation a matter of time. In a single core, definitely.
Absolutely. And it's only a matter of time till we see like, you know, an ARM MacBook. I talked about this with Rene Ritchie on my podcast a few weeks back. I mean, ARM is the future and it is the past. If you think about the number of ARM chips in the world, it's like 10 to 1 anything else, right? Like
definitely.
There is more ARM chips made since the Scion Organizer, which was the first ARM-based device in the late 80s, right?
I am shocked that you know which one it is.
Well, yeah, you know, come on, I'm old and get off my lawn, kids.
Same.
But the point is, I think, you know, you make a very valid point, which is that we're going to see a lot of really interesting chips in the next few months. I mean, Qualcomm clearly has something in the works, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I think the 855 or the 1000 or whatever it's going to be called is, you know, remember how the 800 was such a step forward?
For me, that was my favorite chip until now with the 845. Like, the 800 was the best.
Yeah, and I think that we need another big step forward like this. So let's see what happens. I mean, it's going to be an exciting fall. If you think 2018, like last podcast, well, two podcasts ago, David Immel was on my show,
mm-hmm.
and we talked about the phones of 2018 we like so far. And it's like, wait a minute. There's way more coming. So it should be very interesting.
It should be very interesting. I don't know. This year has been crazy, if you think about it. But I used to have a colleague, Joe Levi, who would always say, it's a great time to be alive. And it definitely is. Like, I don't think I've ever had a year where I find the phone that I can actually say, wow, I am so happy with this. I am glad that you're about to get your Note 9, because that's how I feel about the Note 9. But that I don't just feel that way about the Note 9. I feel that way about the OnePlus 6, and I feel that way about the P20 Pro.
Yeah, those three phones, I think, are going to define the year in a major way. For me, the P20 Pro has, you know, way exceeded my expectations.
Oh, yes.
You know, it had some imperfections in the early days that made me kind of go, okay, yeah, but my Pixel 2 XL, blah, blah, blah. But now I'm just like, whatever. Like, if I have to pick a camera phone to go somewhere to do something, like at Burning Man, it's a no-brainer. I just pick one, and that's the phone.
It's funny. I actually don't use it as a phone. It's like that point-and-shoot camera that you leave in your bag. That, for me, is the P20 Pro.
That's what I mean. Like, I still have my Pixel 2 XL because I'm too lazy to transfer everything over.
Yeah.
And it's such a solid phone to start with.
Oh,
yeah, for the occasional photo, it, you know, always blows away my expectations. I took a few photos of this Pixel 2 XL in the desert, and they, of course, came out fantastic. But the P20 Pro in night mode, nothing can touch it.
No.
I mean, you know, sure, you can do that on the Honor 10, and you can do that on the P20 as well. But, you know, might as well get that telelens. The telelens saved me so many times.
It is so good.
You know,
that hybrid
three
zooming
times
is so good.
Three times is the kind of the sweet spot. Because at Burning Man, there's a lot of art that's on fire. You can't get close to it simply because it's too hot. Like, you just cannot get physically close to it.
Interesting.
So you want to be far, but you don't want to be... You don't want to have to crop the image too much because you're going to get lots of pixelization, right?
Right.
Even with the, you know, even with the Pixel 2 XL, which does a really good job of digital zooming, you're still going to lose some stuff. So the P20 Pro with the 3x optical, I would set it to 3x and just leave it there. To capture stuff, and it worked really, really well. So I think, you know, the Mate 20, because of that, it's got me super excited. I mean, if they can do even more software trickery, and on top of that, you know, I don't know, add a few more juicy niblets that we normally see on the Mate series, you know, I think it'll be a killer phone for the year. It might even surpass the P20 Pro.
I'm looking forward to it. I definitely am. Like, again, for me, this is the year. And Huawei has been proving a lot of things. They've been having issues in the United States and whatever. Huawei's not the only company. But in the end, it hasn't stopped their innovation. And it hasn't stopped their focus in design as well. For me, the P20 Pro was my phone in Rome recently. I took some photography. I was literally carrying a Panasonic GH5 with... I was carrying an f1.4 12mm lens, a prime. This beautiful Leica lens. Oh my God. If I showed you the difference between the photos from the P20 Pro and the photos from the Panasonic, you would be like, no. And I'm like, yes, Miriam. You'd be like, no way. I'm like, yes. So the thing about smartphones, and particularly the P20 Pro, is just I'm not going to use the word AI. Let's not use that. Let's use HDR.
Yeah, forget about it.
Let's use things like high dynamic range. Cameras don't have that. You would need to shoot in RAW and then play with it, whereas you don't need to do any of that with the phone. You simply take the damn shot, and the phone will be smart enough to adapt the photo to how better the photo is going to look. And so for me, there were a lot of shots where the sun was behind, and you know the photos were dark from the GH5, whereas I didn't have that problem with the P20 Pro.
Yeah, and I don't understand what it is with, you know, Sony is one of the few that has a decent HDR mode on their point and shoots.
Yes.
And the next series, Alpha series, or whatever they're called now. And it's like, where is Canon and Nikon and everybody else that are making big glass? Like, imagine combining the sensors and big glass that we know that they're experts at with the computational stuff we're seeing on these cameras, like the P20 Pro, these phones. It's like, I don't get it. It's like they're totally missing the boat. Like, very soon you'll be able to carry a phone in your pocket that can do 99% of what you can do with DSLR. And, you know, what are they going to do? Well, we sell to pros. Okay, fine. But so what? Like, there are pros that I know that are using phones now simply because they want the computational aspects and they can't get them anywhere else.
Right, definitely. And for me, it's one of those things where, you remember that Samsung DSLR that came out? It was Android with the DSLR?
Okay. With interchangeable lenses,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So for me, that was a genius move. The Galaxy camera was terrible, but then that Samsung with Android was genius because the biggest problem is not really the capabilities. It's simply that the chips that they build into these cameras are not smart at all. They have no ability to be able to tell what they're taking a photo at. You just tell them what kind of metering you want, and you just, you know, you assume that the
because
photo...
Because they don't have the computational power. They keep, like, what they need is to make a camera, like a Nikon, dedicated, like, point-and-shoot, no, not point-and-shoot, like, DSLR, like, 5K body, right? $5,000 body that has a freaking Snapdragon 845 or a Kirin 980 in there.
Exactly, but instead of... instead of reinventing the wheel, simply use Android. But, you know, a fork version of Android if you want to, because, I mean, if you've ever used a Sony camera, like, their user interface, like, they do have HDR, but the hurdles you have to go through just to activate these things is a nightmare. It's the stupidest thing. And so it just becomes so counterintuitive that people just end up doing what Jaime did in Rome. Jaime pulled out his P20 Pro and just took the photo and that was it. Boom. Let's move on.
And it was perfect.
And it was
perfect.
Great. It was perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what I kept thinking when I was taking photos at Burning Man. It's like, I was taking photos against the sun all the time and I'm like, nothing can touch this. Nothing can touch this.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I could have used any of the four phones I had with me for HDR. They all do a great job. But like, I was saying to myself, like, any camera that I own today does not take that, cannot take that picture.
Yeah, no. Sadly.
It just can't.
That's just the way it is. Like, I learned
and
that.
And then.
Go for it.
And at night, it was even worse because at night, everything fell apart except for the P20 Pro in night mode.
Oh my God. And have you ever tried night mode during the day?
Oh yeah. It's great too.
It is so good.
But I think at night, it's just, for I was gathering light in places I didn't even think I could gather light. And I mentioned as a teaser that I was reviewing a low light, like night vision camera that has an incredibly optimized for low light sensor. And that camera is really good, but the P20 Pro still blew it away.
Yeah, no, that's just the thing, Miriam. We've come to the point where smartphones, again, there are certain cases. Like if you like photography and you've got yourself a Canon, then sure, my God, their color science is fantastic. There's still cases in video where I definitely still prefer a full-blown camera because the level of detail in video is fantastic. But like if people watch my Galaxy S9 review, the S9 Plus review, if people watch a recent video that I did between the iPhone 10 and the Galaxy Note 9, I could tell you that half of those videos were shot on an iPhone 10 with a gimbal and people would not be able to tell.
Oh, absolutely. And I use almost only phones for my videos on my YouTube channel. So, there's no need to do anything else. Like, I showed a professional photographer, again, at the event in the desert recently, how stable video was on the P20 Pro in 1080p and on the Pixel 2 XL.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, the Pixel 2 XL, yes.
And they were like, what are you talking? Like, this is insane. Like, how did I not know about this? And I'm like, yeah, like, you don't like forget your camera. Like yeah. this is how you want to shoot video, at least in daylight.
Yeah.
Like this is how you want, because you have a gimbal is built in. Like just hold the phone up and you're done.
And you just start walking. It's one of those things where I did a comparison between the GH5 it's a GorillaPod, you know, held on a GorillaPod. So you have a better steady hand. And so I had activated OIS and EIS on the camera. And then I had an iPhone 10 without anything, just handheld. I shot both clips and I ended up using the damn iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that's just weird. And
Go for it.
Let's
go back to the P20 Lite. Let's see, you know, that's what got us going here on the segue of cameras, Lite, which is totally an awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry, the Mate 20 Lite.
Yeah.
So what, I mean, anything, any takeaways, should we care?
No, I don't think, like, it doesn't have the chipset, it doesn't have anything, it's just, I don't know, it's like a consolation
prize. Branding.
Yeah, it's branding, pretty much. Same thing with this U12 Life that HTC launched. I didn't even...
Oh yeah, I saw that too.
But I didn't even see that they had a booth. Like, if they used IFA, I didn't even see that they had a booth. They never had a booth. So
this is interesting because cosmetically, this does not look like a U12.
No, thank God it doesn't.
It looks like a freaking iPhone without the notch at the top.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. And my God, HTC is just, it's never mind. I wish them the best. Probably for me, what was interesting, not in a good way, is the new BlackBerry Key 2 LE.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk about that. What did they sacrifice to get the price down?
Everything.
What is it, $100
like
less?
Everything. It's like $200 less, but they sacrificed. It's $250
less.
$250 less. But it looks like a Key 2, but it's not a Key 2 in any way. Like nothing. With the exception of the screen, the keyboard is slightly smaller.
So they kept the worst part of it, is what you're saying, because the screen is really the worst part of the Key 2.
No, what are you talking about, Miriam? It's not the screen. The worst part is the camera.
Okay, fine. It's arguable that the two of them are pretty bad.
They're pretty bad. I feel so sad because I am a former BlackBerry user, proud BlackBerry user. I still have some of them. I remember when I saw the Key 2 prototype, like very early on, and I was like, oh my God, I really want this phone. It's so cool. And I'm hoping that so they told me like it's going to have more RAM. And so I was like, okay, so more RAM plus the Pixel 1 sensor that we had with the P1. And this is going to be a great phone, except the camera sensor wasn't there and the software is not there. And so photography on the Key 2, in my review, I was like, listen, for $650, just save some money and go buy a OnePlus 6. Like, don't. It's not worth it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I said the same in my review. I mean, the OnePlus 6 is kind of like what kills the unless you're a hardcore keyboard user. So why is this phone even exist, the LE? I mean,
So the Key 2 LE is like, here we go, let's give you a Key 2 visually, but it's actually plastic. It's a polycarbonate body. It's not a Key 2's aluminum. And it's funny because when you hold it, you can't really tell. Like you can't, it's the same stippled back. You can't really tell that it's plastic. It's very well done.
But why even do that? I mean, I understand cost cutting, but to me, the Key 2 is too expensive for what you're getting.
Yeah.
It should be a $450 phone. So now it is a $450 phone, but they removed so much stuff.
It's a $400 phone. It's $399.
But you know what I'm saying? Like it should be, from what I'm reading and what I'm hearing, it should be a $200 phone.
Yeah, but so this is pretty much the BlackBerry curve, I guess. If you remember the back in the day, the Key 2 would be the Bold, and this with the exception that the Bold from back in the day had a better camera than the Key 2.
Oh boy!
Yeah, no, it's probably. It's that bad. I am so shocked that they launched that camera to the market. Apparently, there are some software updates that are coming to fix that. I wonder because they said the same for Essential Phone. They said the same for Razer, and you know, you really can't beat physics if they didn't get the hardware right. In the case of the Key 2 LE, it's not an ugly phone. I feel that it's better priced. Would I recommend it to people? No, not now that we've got the Poco phone.
Right. Have you gotten your hands on this yet?
So I did get my hands on the Poco phone, but it's funny because my schedule is just so tight. I guess I I'm sorry about this, but I didn't like what I saw initially. And I was like, you know what, Jules, you do the review. I wasn't surprised, but the problem is I wasn't part of the briefing. And so I just looked at it visually and I was like, it's another iPhone lookalike. That's whatever, Jules, you do it. I had no idea the moment Jules showed it to me that it had an 845, that it had all these specifications, and that it costs so little money. And so now that's not that I'm regretting not doing it. It's just, okay, wow, things are getting really cool.
I mean, from what I've read so far, it doesn't seem to be quite to OnePlus 6 levels.
Oh, no, of course. And but they're not charging OnePlus 6 price either.
Right, of course. It's even cheaper. But so did you go through Xiaomi to get this phone?
Yeah, like how? Yeah, no. Okay. So everything is being marketed. It's a new brand. It's like Realme for Oppo. It's Poco for Xiaomi. You have to remember how the whole business model of online sales and everything, it started with Xiaomi, and I guess they've become a little higher end. They followed the road of OnePlus, and so they decided that they needed a cheaper brand to appeal to countries like India. And I think that it's, regardless if it's a great phone or not, this is like the OnePlus One back in the day. I don't care if it's a great phone or not, because the essentials are there. Xiaomi, they did a really good job with things like, you know, things like the software. I don't know much about the camera yet. I have to ask Jules about that. But, you know, just the fact that you've got a Qualcomm Snapdragon 845, like, that chipset alone, like I've told people, like I made a comparison between a Galaxy Note 9 and an iPhone 10 in New York data speeds. And my God, like I was getting 180 down on the Note 9 compared to 30 on the iPhone 10. Like that chipset alone is just so good. It's really hard. If your phone has this chip, you're golden. Like, chill.
So, question, were you using a iPhone 10 with the Intel chipset or the Qualcomm chipset?
Intel chipset.
Ah, see, I have the Qualcomm one.
Ah, lucky you.
I have the Verizon version.
Lucky you.
Well, which is, you know, the unlocked, which is sold by Apple. I waited for that to be available because it is much, much better.
I would have done that. Yeah, so I learned that unlocked variant later. I grabbed the T-Mobile variant, which I eventually learned had the T-Mobile modem. But even the one that has the Qualcomm modem, you have to remember that the iPhone doesn't support...
Oh, yeah, it's not the same speed. Yeah,
it's
absolutely
not the same speed. It doesn't support 4x4 MIMO. There are a couple of things, and so it's just one of those things where if you have a $200-something phone scratching $300, and that phone includes such a powerful chip, you know, if this was the days of the 820, 821, or 835, I wouldn't have cared. But the 845 is significantly better from a raw perspective of things like imaging. The fact that the chip alone supports a higher color gamut, it supports better data speeds. And, you know, just to have all that at such a cheap price tag, like, I really don't know how Xiaomi does it.
I don't know either. They're probably making $2 per phone or something.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, they make money in China. Like, the China business model has really helped them because they make money out of software services. Because they control the App Store, that pretty much applications pay them to be at the top of the list. It's pretty much the way Google works. It's an interesting and awesome business model. But the thing about it is, how are they doing it outside of China where they don't control the App Store is the question. I'm really curious as to how they're doing it, but they're doing it and they're killing it. Like, honestly, and even even in the case of Xiaomi phones, even those are the Mi Mix 2S is such an affordable phone considering the price tag, and considering the fact that you're getting ceramic, you're getting just this like really great phone. I mean, think about it, Miriam. It's very difficult. I hate the fact that, you know, you've got companies charging $1,000 for a phone. I feel that no phone is worth the price of a new MacBook. Like, seriously.
Well, especially when you're going to change it as often as we do. I mean, for some people, it's their main computing device, they have the money, and they're going to keep it 2 years. I can kind of see it. But you're right.
So?
I mean, honestly, right now, well, I do because, you know, I'm sorry, but look, there is some things that I feel are better done with the Note 9 or the Galaxy S9 Plus or the iPhone 10.
Yeah.
or even, well, those are about the ones, or the P20 Pro,
yeah,
that justify the price. Like the Note, you get the, you know, the stylus, the P20 Pro, yeah, you get the camera, the iPhone X, you get the iOS ecosystem. And for some people, that's really critical. Like, I think the apps are always better on iOS,
yeah, the apps, even though I'm an Android better user. Yes, I have to agree.
And then,
that,
you know, I think that for Galaxy S9 Plus, it's a little hard to justify, but I get that, but you're right. Like G7, great phone, but like it's not worth the price.
No.
You know, Galaxy S9 regular, great phone, but not worth the price. I think that's where the OnePlus 6 and the rumored leaked OnePlus 6T we're going to talk about in a minute,
ooh, yes,
is really worth it. One final phone I want to kind of touch on the IFA recap is the G7 variant.
So I have video shot for them, but I didn't put it together because, I haven't put it together.
What's the deal? Can you give us the Cliff Notes one sentence version?
One of them runs Android One, and that's really it has two things that I like about it: the Android One operating system, and the fact that the back looks aluminum, but it's actually the matte glass that we get in the OnePlus 6.
But are they the same phone?
No, no. They've got meager specifications. The cameras aren't...
A21, right?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. You know, I was like, all right, you're left with a couple of chips. That's great. You just want to get rid of them. That's fine. So, honestly, it's just the topic of Android One coming to LG, which I like. I also like, again, that matte design on that that one variant. And then in the case of the Fit, I have nothing to say about it. Like, really, I see no sense in the phone other than a watered-down version of the G7 with less camera.
Is it called Fit because it's, like, dust and water-resistant or something? Or rugged?
That's a good question. No, it is water-resistant, I believe. But that's about it. Like, it's nothing... There's nothing hot about them. So, in the case of LG, they were at IFA. But again, because their consumer division, like their refrigerators and their washing machines, that's the reason they had this huge booth. But other than that, they don't really care. You know, they barely did mobile there. Same case with Sony.
I'm not surprised. I mean, the next big thing is going to be the V40 anyway. We all know that.
But the problem is, even if it's the V40, you have a company that believes in zero marketing, or very trashy marketing for that matter. So even if it's going to be a great phone, even the company doesn't care enough to promote it. You know, so it's one of those things where I don't understand, yeah, LG. Honestly, I really don't. I don't understand their perspective. Like, to give you an idea, I need to do a video on the LG V35. I had to go through AT&T to get the unit because LG couldn't,
yeah,
provide me one.
It's the same with me, and I gave up at that point. I'm like, I don't care. It's,
yeah,
not important enough.
It's not important enough.
I can, you know, I mean, the V30 is a great phone. I love it. The V35 updates a few things, but if I have to go through AT&T and then get a locked phone with all this bloated bloatware, forget it. I'm not going to waste my time with that.
It's not the worst.
If LG is not willing to give me one, forget it. It's not happening.
Agreed.
So, yeah, sorry. So I think we covered most of IFA. Is there anything else standing out?
Honestly, just the Project Thronos from Acer, which was, it's one thing.
Tell us about it.
It's not going to fit in any New York apartment, particularly not mine. It's cool for these companies.
What is it?
It's literally a throne with three screens in front of you and the computer, and it's this
I saw that.
It's the gaming rig
to kill all gaming rigs.
Oh yeah, no. It's awesome. There are companies that are doing this, but I guess Acer is the first one to be like a mainstream gaming company to actually build its own. And obviously they have a fan following that's crazy. And so, you know, with their whole Predator line, they have a lot of following. And so I feel that it's great that a company, this is like Samsung grabbing a company that already does this and just putting the Samsung brand on it.
Right.
I feel that was cool. And I also liked, there's an Asus laptop. I forgot the name of it. It's going to take...
There were a lot of gaming laptops.
Yeah, but Asus launched this laptop that has another, instead of a trackpad, it's got a 1080p screen on it. So do you remember the Razer Project Linda, where it was...
So I was at Computex, and this was shown there.
Oh,
right?
Really?
This is not the first laptop that Asus has launched with a trackpad in the... display in the trackpad. In fact...
Oh, I hadn't seen
that
before.
Computex had that. It had the ROG phone. I got to play with the ROG phone
at
Computex.
Oh, the ROG phone was great, yeah.
Yeah. So no, that was, I don't remember what it's called. It's like an Asus ZenBook.
The ZenBook Pro.
Pro, right. Yeah, that's the Pro. The name. Yeah, no, that's not new. That's from Computex.
Oh, interesting. But then again, like,
you saw it at IFA. I saw it. Because it's out now.
Yeah, I saw it at IFA. For me, it was just, people complain about the touch bar on MacBook Pros. Like, it's funny. Brandon Miniman and I were talking yesterday. He's like, yeah, I have to get that 13-inch MacBook Pro, but I have to pay it. I have to buy it with the touch bar. And I'm like, so what's wrong with that? He's like, I don't want the touch bar. And I'm like, how are the function keys any better than the touch bar?
I don't like the touch bar either.
I'm not a fan. I honestly don't like it either. But I'm like, how are the function keys a better experience? Like,
yeah. Well, so it's not the function keys. That I could live without. I could live with those being digital. It's the fact that Apple knows how to do 3D touch or whatever, haptic feedback, and they only do it on the trackpad, and they didn't do it on the touch bar.
That is such a good point.
I thought they might, you know, first gen, I'm willing to say, okay, you screwed that up, or you couldn't make it happen, whatever. Second gen, which they just launched, it's inexcusable. Secondly, the escape key needs to be physical. There's no excuse for an escape key that is not physical and doesn't give you haptic feedback. Escape is used all the time. True. I'm sorry, I use it all the time. And the other thing is, to make it symmetric, I would have done the escape key as a hardware key, and I would have done the power button as a power button.
As a hardware button.
It's also a fingerprint reader.
Yeah.
Right?
Separate from the touch bar.
Like Huawei did with the Mate X Pro.
The MateBook X Pro. Oh, that's still my favorite.
That is how I would have done it. And then, honestly, I could totally live with a touch bar if Apple just fixed these three things. Basically, put haptic feedback on the touch bar, made the touch bar a little narrower, have the escape key physical, have the power button with the fingerprint reader physical. But they're not going to do that. And as such, I will not buy a MacBook at this point. I'm waiting to see what's happening with the rumored super thin MacBook replacement. You know, I have a 12-inch MacBook. In fact, I'm recording on it right now.
You're so lucky. I'm
very passionate about this touch bar thing. Like, this is not working for me as a longtime Mac user. I've used it for a while. I do not like it. I do not want it. And I think it should be an option. In the same way as Apple for many years had a matte screen options on the MacBook.
You have a point.
You know, make it an option. Make it so I can buy the top-of-the-line 15-inch MacBook Pro. I'm all for the USB-C ports. I've done the conversion a long time ago. I'm not going to bitch about that. But give me the option to not have the touch bar for the same price.
That's a good point. But in the case of this ZenBook Pro, I guess, the trackpad is just this dead area. I don't like the idea of like dragging stuff into the trackpad, but it's a great touchscreen. Like, if you think about it, there's been multi-touch on displays forever. They support up to 10 finger keystrokes at the same time. So I love the added functionality. I prefer that over the touch bar is what I was planning to say. I think that's a better idea.
I felt the same way when I saw it at Computex, and I felt that there's more interesting potential there, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. We'll see how they implement it. But yeah, so there you go. You got your dose of IFA, folks. I hope I hope you enjoyed. Thanks, Jaime, for bringing us all the news. I will link to your playlist IFA on the show notes so that people have the entire whole enchilada, as they say. Speaking of phones, there's a bunch of other rumors and news that I sent you an email about.
Yes.
And I want to go through some of these.
Let's do it.
The first one that I'm super stoked about, obviously, like everyone should be, is the OnePlus 6T.
Uh-huh.
Leaks are abounding, and what we're seeing is basically an Oppo R17 variant.
Pretty much.
That teardrop notch, right? So that's the latest now. They're minimizing the notch into a teardrop.
Yes. Yeah, so I have the Oppo F9, which also has that. That was actually the first one with that screen.
Right.
I have it. It is. So I don't know. Have you ever played with the recent Oppo phones like the R15 Pro?
No, I have not.
So this is very interesting because OnePlus does their own color tuning for the screen. But oddly, I find Oppo does a better job. And so if you look at the screen and the way they tune it, like on the Find X, for example, which I also have, it is gorgeous. It looks so good. And so, I love the fact that they're making that move to more of an essential phone design. To a certain degree, even better. I love the fact that they've reduced the chin dramatically. Probably, like, the two biggest things from a curiosity standpoint is, what are they going to do with the cameras? Because I've heard rumors of up to even three cameras, which I don't know. But then the second thing is the fingerprint scanner on the display. We know that Vivo is to a certain degree.
So that's a big rumor, right? Yeah. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So we know that Vivo is also part of the same manufacturing group. They're pretty much not the same company, but they're close to get
BBK,
to each.
Right?
Yeah. And so the problem is that I have the Vivo Nex. I haven't done a video on that thing because I really don't want to be hard on it. But like fingerprint scanner, the finger detection on that phone is really bad. Like really, really bad.
And you know what? That's because it's ultrasonic. And you know what? You know what else is like that? The Honor 10. That's my biggest gripe on the Honor 10.
Yeah.
Because the fingerprint reader is below the display, but it's embedded in the glass.
Yeah.
And I get so many false readings on that fingerprint reading. I basically turned it off and now I'm just doing face detection only on it.
It's the worst. It is totally
it's
the
really
worst.
Bad.
And so I am hoping that it is not the same sensor. Obviously, OnePlus's face to unlock is really good. I feel that it's honestly the best on Android right now.
I agree.
In the case of the OnePlus 6. And so I think that I'm going to probably rely on that. But you know, let's see. These are the rumors. It's funny, but every comparison that I've done to the OnePlus 6, I've always said the same thing. I was not expecting the OnePlus 6 to win. This is the first time. In the past, I would always be like, it's great for the price. I would always say that.
Right. That's true. And the OnePlus 6 is the first one I'm like, absolutely no, bar none, go get it.
Yeah.
You cannot go wrong with that phone.
Go get it. I'm like, people, forget about the for the price. That doesn't apply here anymore. This is such a refined product. So well made, great battery life, great software. Just the whole experience of using the phone for me is just, oh, it's so cool. And now, if you've tried the beta for Android Pi, now they finally, you have to. We're actually publishing a video. Whenever we finish recording, we're publishing a video on how to install it on your OnePlus 6. And so the cool part is that they give you now this. So one of the things that I didn't like about the user interface with the OnePlus 6 was the navigation gestures, where you didn't have one for the Google Assistant, for example. And so now one of the cool parts is that now you get that pill from the Pixel on as one of the navigation gestures. And so I'm
awesome.
Yeah. And so if this is going to be Pi on the OnePlus 6T, then I'm really looking forward to it because it just means that it's getting even better.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping they don't screw up the camera because that was the first thing they finally got right.
Yeah.
The first time they've got a camera that I thought was competitive on the OnePlus 6. So keep that up. The rest can only be improved, and I'm happy with the improvements, even if it's an extra $30 or whatever.
I think at $30...
You know, so don't mess up the fingerprint reader, right? Please don't mess it up.
We'll see. And in the case of the camera, my only disappointment with the 6 was, like, really a depth sensor? Like, why can't we get another telephoto of anything? I would rather that. How often do we take portrait photos?
I agree, but at the same time, I'd rather them not mess it up. You know what I'm saying? Keep it simple. If it's going to give us a good main camera, keep it simple.
True that.
And I did appreciate that about the 6. It didn't try to do anything fancy. No. It just added a second camera for depth, and that was it.
Oh my God, Miriam, my comparison between the OnePlus 6 and the iPhone 10, there are photos where the metering just shows how good the HDR is on the OnePlus 6. Like, you had blown highlights on a $1,000 phone, whereas on the OnePlus 6, there was no problem. Zero.
I believe it. So speaking of iPhones, I'm only put that in the news notes because I've been away for 3 weeks. So there's been lots of rumors on next week's announcement. It's happening on September 12th, which is Tuesday, in Cupertino, I believe. Mm. Maybe it's in San Jose. I don't know. It's somewhere in the South Bay, in the Bay Area.
No, it's in their new campus.
Yeah, so their new campus. That's what I thought. Cupertino. So. The rumors are that it's going to be called iPhone XS. XS.
What do you think about that name?
People are going to call it the iPhone XS all the time. Yeah. It's going to be excessive.
It's excessive.
How much are going to call the iPhone XS? Of course, I had to make that joke. Da 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 da. I'm terrible. No, it's going to be what a terrible name. But then the worst part is that there's two sizes of the iPhone XS, supposedly, and one may or may not be called the iPhone XS Max, XS Max. Seriously, is this like 2013 where Android phones were named a Galaxy S2 Epic Touch 4G? Remember that?
Epic 4G Touch, yes. Yeah.
This is bad. Like Apple, seriously, like I've been saying for years now that every year that they, 1 year they should switch to just calling the iPhone the iPhone.
Yeah,
and that's it. There's iPhone. There are three models for 2000, and then it would be like, you know how we review MacBooks now, we put in brackets next to it the year.
Yeah,
we like MacBook Pro 2018, so we know it's the latest one.
Yeah,
but see, like, why are they continuing to number these phones or name these phones in these stupidest ways? And I know this could be very wrong, right? These rumors. No, but at the same time, I'm like, oof.
Now tell me something. I mean, do you really believe this? The rumors? I don't, honestly. And the names.
Well, 10S, I believe. 10S,
I believe, but the thing about it is, I don't believe the Max moniker is going to be there. It doesn't make sense.
Max sounds wrong.
It sounds wrong. It's for me.
I think if anything, they should call it the XS and the XL. You know, 10S and 10L.
That
large and small.
That is a good idea. That's actually a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, that is actually a good idea. Shoot, you should patent that. Just write it down. It's a Miriam idea. Let's do it.
Well, it's going to be published in 24 hours. So there you go.
So here's the thing. The rumors have been back and forth over the names. I do believe in more the idea that the more affordable iPhone is going to be called just iPhone. If you notice, they've done it with iPads, where the entry-level iPad is just iPad. It has nothing more.
Right.
You know, we saw with the MacBooks, where they came up and boom, boom, no more Air, no more. No, it's just going to be called the MacBook, and that's just going to be
MacBook
the name.
Pro.
And
MacBook
Pro.
So maybe it should be the iPhone Pro. That would be awesome. iPhone and iPhone Pro. Can you get the iPhone Pro in two sizes, just like you can get the MacBook Pro in two sizes.
Exactly.
Done.
So I feel that this is just, that one is going to be called iPhone. And then the rumors that I've heard is that it's going to be just called iPhone X, and it's going to be iPhone X 2018, and then the larger one is going to be called the iPhone XS, the iPhone XS. And it's going to have a couple of extra bells and whistles, like the fact that you can flip the screen and use it in landscape, like you can...
The Plus phones.
In the Plus models. I don't know if there's going to be any other different...
That they're going to... The high-end ones are going to be for expensive and have OLED and build on what the design for the iPhone X was, which I think is a great design. There's rumors of it missing 3D Touch around this time.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is honestly... weird, but whatever. I mean, it's not a feature I use. It's just like, I like the Taptic Engine.
I want that to remain. I love the Taptic Engine as well.
I don't really care about... LG has the closest best thing to it, in my opinion.
In the V30, I remember when you would do like the manual controls in the camera and that ticking feeling on the controls.
Oh, it's so good.
It was so good, yes. So yeah. I heard that. I don't think that Apple is going to kill 3D Touch just because it's part of every product that they do now. There are even rumors that the buttons on the...
Except the touch bar, damn it.
There are rumors that the next generation Apple Watch is going to have capacitive buttons, just like in the case of the U12 Plus, terribly. But we know that Apple does it well. Like that
Apple would totally nail that. Yeah. I'm not worried about that. Because they did it with the trackpads for so many years now.
Yeah, no. I don't think that Max name is going to make it. Like, Apple calls nothing the Max. There's nothing.
But especially it conflicts with the word Mac. If you plural Mac is Max, right? The computer.
Unless they call it the iPhone Max and just that. No X,
maybe.
No XS, just the iPhone Max.
I think they still need an iPhone Air that's 3 millimeters thick.
Oh, God. And then the terrible battery life.
No, it won't have a terrible battery life because Apple already has a terrible battery life. So it'll just be built in.
Now, tell me this thing. What do you think about
talking about the regular iPhone, not the Plus.
I know, but let me interrupt you for something because of your expertise, Marianne. What do you think about the rumors of the next A chip going 7 nanometers and launching before Huawei?
I wouldn't be surprised. Samsung is their partner, so Samsung's making 7 nanometer chips for Qualcomm as well, right?
That's a good question. I believe so.
I mean,
so, but
I'm saying, like,
to my understanding,
I think Qualcomm
it's not
announced,
ready.
I'm pretty sure Qualcomm announced 7 nanometers coming. I think I saw a press release about that.
But
the point is, that means that the 855 is going to be, or the 1000 is going to be 7 nanometers. So if Samsung makes, you know, chips for both of them, there you go.
Yeah. But the rumors were that the 7 nanometer is made by TSMC.
Hmm.
TSMC apparently is the company that's
right.
Doing
well,
it.
You know, Apple has a lot of deep pockets. Many, many more pockets than my 4 pockets in my pants. So they're gonna just do I don't know. Honestly, all I know is that the A12 is gonna slay.
Huh?
Because it always does.
Well, right? Yeah, we'll see. It's just, I'm looking forward to it. I guess I'm looking forward to that 7 nanometer, not necessarily on an iPhone, but more on an iPad Pro refresh.
Oh, yeah.
I am an avid iPad user. Like, actually, the audio that I use in the Pocket Now daily, like, most of my work is done on iPads. You have no idea. It's not until...
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's not until I move into, like, video editing that I grab a computer. But I just... It's hilarious how much people complain about the way iPads work, but I just find that it's easier for me to concentrate on work when all I have on my screen is one thing.
I think the iPad is really good hardware, and it's the only tablet that has customized software, especially music software is really awesome on it.
Yeah.
But it's not for me. I can get, I'm just way more productive on my tiny little MacBook 12-inch than I am on an iPad any day. So
that's the thing. You have that beautiful thing. That's the reason why you're
sick. It's a little slow. That's why I want an ARM version of it with 7 nanometer A12 or A13 or A whatever it's going to be chip.
We'll see. I'm looking forward for that new iPad. Let's see what Apple brings there. I'm curious.
We touched on the V40 briefly.
Yeah.
And there's leaks on that as well. Some leaks.
Have you heard about the 5 cameras and stuff like
that? Yeah, so there's cameras coming out the kazoo. I guess 3 in the back, 2 in the front or something.
Yeah, something like that.
I wouldn't
be
surprised. I mean, LG has owed us a telephoto lens for a while now. Mm-hmm. It would make sense that the V40 would have 3 lenses in the back, regular, wide angle, and zoom, right?
Yeah.
I love what LG's doing. I'm a huge fan. The G7 is a great phone. The V30 is a great phone. Keep it up, LG. Give us something awesome. As long as you keep the quad DAC HD madness in there,
that is beautiful. But let me ask you this about that G7. Have you noticed any color spill in your photography in low light?
A little bit. I mean, it's not as good as the rest of the competition.
No, it is
I'm not sure if I specifically noticed color spill, but I have to say, for a tiny sensor with 1 micron pixels, it does a freaking amazing job.
So that's what I was about to say. So the rumors of the V40 is that they're finally going to make a jump to 1.4 microns. And that for me is like, all right, now we're talking. Now we're talking.
Because
LG does good photos, but if I have to put it beside a Galaxy, I'll pick the Galaxy.
Absolutely. The G4 was, at its time,
It was really
above and beyond anything at the time.
It continues to be my favorite LG phone.
OIS on that thing was unreal.
It was so good.
Speaking of unreal, Motorola, while I was away in the desert at Burning Man, launched the One and One Power, which are basically the P30, whatever it was called.
Yeah.
That weird phone from China, they finally launched it out other markets, but the US isn't getting it. I tried to get a review in it by emailing them. They're like, nope.
Yeah, no. We did a hands-on at IFA. It was also
But it has
IFA.
Android One. This is going to be cool.
Yes. I honestly don't understand Lenovo. Lenovo is like one of those weird companies where Motorola is part of them and they're at the booth, but then when you talk to the Lenovo PR reps, they're like, we don't do Motorola. And so it's hilarious.
It's so weird.
It's hilarious because they're like the stepchild and they treat them really bad. And I don't know, that Motorola One, I saw them both at IFA. I was like, all right, TK, you do that video. Because it's, oh my God, like the only great thing about that phone is how much it looks like an iPhone. It gives you a reason to mock it. But then again, as a product per se, no. And you know, with everything that Motorola has been doing, you know, the launching and the launches of the Z series, how they've dropped the ball. Like, here's a guy who spent 10 years of his life using exclusively Motorola phones, you know, a company that was so great about design. And just out of the blue, you know, we were hearing rumors of a flip phone that's going to mimic the Razr from back in the day. Those rumors have died out. And then what we end up getting is an iPhone clone. I'm like, really? That's all you can do.
But I think this is not the US Moto. Like, this is the rest of the world Lenovo Moto. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference. There's three Lenovo phone brands. There's Lenovo the phones, there's Motorola, which is their Lenovo using the Moto brand, and then there's Moto.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like Moto the US brand. And I have to say the Z is disappointing me, but the G6 from Moto, if I only had $200 and something to spend, it would definitely be the highest on my list.
Yeah.
I reviewed it for Geekspin, and it is a phenomenal phone for the money.
Mm-hmm.
It really, knocks it out of the park.
For the money, so, you said it.
So look, yeah, but my point is that's $200, okay? Like, it's $200 for glass sandwich foam that doesn't suck.
Yeah, true that. True that.
So you and I are not used to that anymore because we have Snapdragon 845s in our hands every day.
Exactly.
And I think you have to understand that for some people, this is a great phone.
Yeah.
And I think in that sense, Moto still has a really, really good lineup of products in the mid-range, in the lower mid-range, whatever budget range you want to call it. And so, you know, look, I mean, I think it's, yes, it's an iPhone clone, which is kind of why I made fun of it a bit.
It is so bad.
It's worth mentioning because it's Android One, it's Moto, and it's an iPhone clone. So there you go. There's lots of iPhone clones right now. I mean, just in the IFA phones alone, the U12 Lite or whatever.
Oh my God.
Life looks to me like an iPhone clone.
Everything.
Despite that, does not look at all like a U12 Plus.
Everything. And I don't understand why companies are just doing that blind copy to Apple. Like, I feel Samsung is doing better design right now.
Well, even Huawei did it with the P20.
Yes.
So, and the Honor 10. Well, that's the other way, actually, the pod. Never mind. But, okay, speaking of multi-camera phones, we talked about the V40 having potentially five. There's that leak of a Nokia with a Penta lens with literally five lenses on the back of the phone.
Leak or Photoshop? I was like,
yeah.
What do you think? What do you think about this? Because I
honestly, look, I want to believe because I'm a photography fiend and I love it. And I want to believe because Nokia has a great history of imaging and they still have some folks on their team from the old imaging from the PureView days.
Yeah.
So I want to believe. I think that what makes me lead to believe this is a Photoshop is that if I had built that phone, I would have put the flash in the middle of the five or six cameras or whatever it is there.
Exactly.
Or the top or the bottom or something, not on the side like that. But hey, look, maybe it's just a concept. Maybe they tried something out and it just wasn't going to happen. Remember, there was another, back in the Microsoft days of Nokia, there was that Lumia that people eventually got their hands on.
Yeah.
That was never launched. That was the successor to the 1020.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was never launched.
That?
Yeah, Michael did a video on that.
So
for me,
exactly.
For me, honestly, you know, I looked at the photo. We discussed it briefly, and I was like, "All right, this looks like a very bad Photoshop job." But then again, I'm also like, "Here's the thing: they already have the PureView patents. One more time, they have all the patents from Microsoft. So Nokia. I love how Nicole Scott put it the other day, where she was like." It's amazing. And it was actually in your podcast, Miriam, when we were at CES, I believe. And she was like, Nokia has been killing it. Like, the problem is we're not in the markets where they've been killing it, but they've been doing an amazing job in sales. Now that they own the patents, I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think this is the design. They're probably experimenting. I guess I'm looking at it from a design perspective, not just how ugly this looks, but how are they going to fit all those sensors within that module is the question that I'm asking myself. How are they going to pull that off? And so, because there were other rumors where it was just going to be like one camera with like an Olo clip, something that was going to be flipping around. So it was going to be like the 1020's notch, the 1020's hump. But then it was going to
rotate it,
rotating it around. If they came up with, because here's the thing, Miriam, just think about how they're going to fit all those sensors and how are they going to fit the battery. And so I don't think that design is possible. It looks like one of those concepts that, you know, designers come up with, but they've clearly never manufactured a phone, you know? And so it's one of those things where if they came up with like the Lumia 1020 design, where it's all these cameras around the hump, that would make logical sense to me.
Right. Well, we'll see. I mean, look, it could be that it's just a Photoshop and that's fine. I think it looks cool. I think if I saw a phone like that held at somebody's ear, I'd be like, wait a minute, what the hell is that, right? In the same sense as, you know, you recognize an iPhone 10 right now. In fact, you probably are recognizing a P20 when you're in Europe and not an iPhone 10. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As much as I hate the notch, it is an iconic design. Like, it's going to always be remembered as the iPhone 10 notch.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed.
If you look at all the phones with notches today, other than the teardrop, which is a new design, they all, you know, and the essential, that is a circle, they all look like iPhone 10s from the front.
Yeah.
People see my P20 Pro and think I have an iPhone 10, and then they say, oh, what is that? And I'm like, it's the Huawei phone, the phone you can't have, the forbidden fruit, the Chinese phone. And then, half of the people look at me and go, oh my God, that's so cool. Can I have one? Where can I buy it? And I say on Amazon.com. And then the other half say, oh, you're a communist, horrible person that is in bed with China. I hate you.
Are you serious? There are still people alive that say that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, the Trump voters, basically.
No comment.
Yeah. So what I was going to say next is I want to throw a little curveball at you. It's the last thing in our topics before we wrap up. It's the Elephone U2.
Oh, my God. I love the band. They were in Munich recently.
They should have gotten U2 to play for them.
Oh, my God. So here's the thing about the U2. It's funny because until you sent me the topic list, I was like, what? And so I looked into it and I was like, oh, so it's like if the P20 Pro and the Vivo Nex had a baby.
That's correct.
I guess the only thing to point out from this is, number one, it's not ready. Number two, Elephone is a company based in Hong Kong. It's not a large company. But one thing they do really well is pricing their phones very aggressively. And so I guess for me, the positive point here would be, oh, look, so we've got these retractable cameras now working on phones that don't cost so much money. I think that that's a good thing to a certain degree, whether they pull it off or not, because they didn't provide launch dates or anything. I don't know. That's going to be a rough one.
I mean, it looked intriguing, and that's all I put it on there, because I was like,
It looked intriguing, of course, because you love the P20 Pro.
The dual camera is what's got me, like, the fact that it's retracted, it's like Vivo Nex, but you're right, it's a P20 Pro meets Vivo Nex, but the dual in the front, I was like, dual in the front.
It does look good. The question is, exactly what are we getting? Because, you know, in the case of these companies in China, where they price their phones very aggressively, it means you've got a lesser quality display. It means it doesn't have the best sensors. So
but Jaime, it's cool, okay? Like, don't underestimate the cool factor. Like, there are phones that are pretty cheap, but they're just cool.
I will tell you this much. If you ask me, like, what do I think is the coolest design of 2018, I would have to say the Oppo Find X.
I agree.
I've been using it for 2 weeks. And for me...
So do you have one that does Google Play services?
I have one with everything.
Where did you get that?
From Oppo. They said
I asked them for one yesterday and they said we still don't have any reviews.
So they had, like, they had issues with their batch. And so they sent out a batch initially with like the whole China, you know, thing. And so I was like, no.
Yeah, and that was bad.
I was like, no. Don't even send it to me.
That's the one I played with. If you look at my YouTube, I did a video because Michael lent me his for the afternoon while we were at Moto.
Right. And so Chicago. That was one thing. And so the second thing was, then I reached out to the, no, they reached out to me and they're like, we've got one, but we're having issues with something with the software. And apparently if I sent you the phone like this, so they still offered it. And I was like, all right, dude, you know that I'm going to butcher you in the review. And you know that that's the name of the game, man. So just tell you what, whenever you have a phone that's ready, you let me know. And so when they reached out to me the third time, they're like, we have three units, and all of them are the blue color. Because I told them that I wanted the purple one, and they were like, oh, this is all we have. So I have a really, really good relationship with them, and I believe them. Like, apparently they've been selling that thing like hotcakes. And they're just out of units. So I think that it's been really hard for them to have a good yield on that phone. And that's the reason why they're selling it so expensive. Yeah. My experience so far, Find X, I was able to load Nova Launcher on it. It works. But I decided to go back to the Oppo Launcher. It feels surprisingly iPhone-y. It's not that bad, actually.
Oh, nonsense.
I will, it, you know what? It feels like EMUI. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, I believe you. Look, I'm just making fun of you. I have to, come on. It's par for the course. I wanted one so bad. Their reply was really kind. Alex just said, you know, we don't have any right now. I'll keep you posted once we get some returned. So apparently
they
have a minimum
Alex.
Amount of review units that, you know, they need to wait for one to come back. Same with my Microsoft Surface Go, by the way. So those of you who know that, I've been trying to get my hands on one, and I'm getting the runaround from them as well. And when I say we're getting runaround, maybe
but
I'm exaggerating.
But a lot of people
I believe Alex is right. I think you're right.
No, like, listen, Alex was like, because I was like, dude, why is it that everybody has, why am I on the second batch? Like, really? And he's like, dude, I know that you're, he's like, I know you're going to gag me if I send you something that's not good. And I'm like, all right, good. I'm glad we know each other. I'm like, but the problem is by the time you send that thing to me, there's going to be zero buzz on it. And he's like, I don't care. I'll send you one. And I'm like, it's not going back. You know that. He's like, don't worry about it. But
you're hogging my review unit, Jaime.
Apologize, Miriam. I swear to you, I'm trying to be nice, but you have to get your hands on this phone. It is.
I will. I'm trying really hard. You know, same with Vivo Next. I still don't have one of those.
You know. Hey. You know what this is? This is like buying a Model X, which I'm really curious to hear your experience on the Model 3. But it's like buying a Model X, which has got all these bells and whistles that you don't care about, and it's got these doors that are like really cool that actually don't function that well, but the car is just so cool you want one, right. And so that's the Find X. That's literally the Find X. Photography is actually not that bad.
Well, there you have it, folks. Jaime is my review unit, so hang tight. I would love you to pimp your blog posts, videos, all that good stuff.
Thank you. You can find us at Pocket Now everywhere, on Twitter, Instagram, on YouTube. You will mostly find me on my personal, which is Jaime Rivera on Instagram, Jaime _ Rivera on Twitter. Miriam, it's always such a pleasure to talk to you. I have such admiration for all your work and all your knowledge in this that I'm like, I'm sitting here like a kid just listening to the things that you have to say about things. So for me, like, it's such a pleasure to be here. You have no idea.
Well, thank you so much for being my first podcast back from the dust and, actually giving us really this insight on IFA. Since I wasn't there, you know, having someone like you really makes a difference. Somebody who knows their stuff. I feel the same way. I think, you know, you have such a depth of knowledge and you're so thorough in your reporting that I was like, who can I have on when I get back from Burning Man? And, you know, obviously it had to be you.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to have coffee to that. I appreciate it.
There you go. You folks know where to find me. I'm Tankgirl, TNKGRL, like the comic book character without the vowels, on Twitter, on Instagram, also on Facebook. You can find me through that URL. And the only place I couldn't get it was YouTube. So go to youtube.com/Miriam Jouar. It's my full name spelt out, Miriam with a Y. That's where you'll find some complimentary videos to this podcast. So subscribe to the channel, like the videos if you do. Tell your friends. The podcast is at mobiletechpodcast.com. If it's the first time you're listening or something, please subscribe. There's an RSS feed there. We're on Pocket Casts. We're on everything. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, Slacker, all the radios, all the things. TuneIn, I believe, as well. So you have no reason not to listen. Tell your friends, of course, as well. And I want to also quickly take a second to thank our sponsor, Audible. Audible.com is where it's at for audiobooks. If you love audiobooks, you should really check it out. You can support the podcast by visiting the URL in the show notes below. It is audibletrial.com/mobiletech. That's audibletrial.com/mobiletech. And you will, if you click through and maybe subscribe to Audible, you'll support the show. So thanks to Audible for being our sponsor. Thank you, Jaime, for being on the show. It's always great to have you on.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you.
Fantastic. So stay tuned. We'll have another show in a few days next week, and we'll be back for more. Cheers, everybody.
This has been the Mobile Tech Podcast with Tank Girl, proudly presented by worldpodcasts.com. You can visit us online at mobiletechpodcast.com.